Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
You know, today's message is really kind of a culmination of everything I've learned over the last 50 years. Now, I'm not going to make you listen to it all. But if you were to ask me, Rick, what is the most important thing that you've ever learned? If you've got one bit of wisdom, one truth, what is it that you've learned? I can tell you without hesitation, and there's not even a close second, it would be what the title of this message is, which is love God. Love God. You know, and you probably realize that I'm not the first and certainly not the greatest to ever come up with this advice. If we look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, this is what we read. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What is the most important thing?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." The first thing I want to address, and this may sound elementary, but it's really not. What actually is a biblical commandment? I mean, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but isn't God commanding us to love him a bit of an oxymoron? I mean, isn't love at its essence, isn't it about choice? Well, to really understand this commandment, the first commandment, and all the rest, we really need to understand and look at it from God's perspective, from God's viewpoint. See, most people, when they think about a command, they're thinking in terms of rules and regulations. They're talking about someone telling you what to do, and maybe most of all, somebody establishing their authority. But when God gives a commandment, it's really more of a fact. When God gives a commandment, more than anything, it's a truth. He gives us a commandment. It has 100% reliability that is true and accurate. He is telling us what works. He's telling us what leads to life and what leads to God. See, where a lot of people go wrong when they look at the commandments is they think that God is giving a commandment because he's trying to establish authority over us. When in reality, every commandment that God gives is a demonstration of his love for us and his desire for good for us. I mean, after all, the first commandment was this: be fruitful and multiply. I don't know that anybody had a problem with that one. But more seriously, what about the commandment he gave to Adam and Eve when he said, "You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil"? See, a lot of people have said wrongly that God was looking to establish his authority over an Adam and Eve. What, that like he was trying to show them who was boss? Let me say this about authority. There is absolutely nothing that God is less concerned about than establishing his authority. Because listen, if you have to try and worry about establishing your authority, the reality is you never had any in the first place. God has all authority. He's not worried about it. Why did he command Adam and Eve, "You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil"? It's very simple. It's just like he said, because he knew the truth about the tree. He knew that if you eat of this tree, you shall die. What are biblical commandments? In short, they're immutable truths that lead us to life in God. Let me give you a scripture that sheds a little bit more of light on what I'm saying. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. Isn't that a great start? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, transforming the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So when the people came to Jesus and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? What Jesus is hearing, what is the most important thing? What is the most immutable truth? What is the most important thing that I could ever tell you? And Jesus makes it absolutely crystal clear that there is nothing greater that you could ever do with your life, no pursuit you could ever undertake that is more rewarding or essential than pursuing a love relationship with God Almighty. So if loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength is the most important thing concerning my whole existence on planet Earth, what does it actually mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does it really look like? To start, we have to understand that the core of authentic love is relationship. See, love is most clearly identified by the way that it values and pursues relationship. See, this was evidenced by God from the very beginning. Man, you and I were created for relationship. See, we were fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image, in his likeness. Why? What was the primary purpose? What was that all about? It was so that we could have an intimate relationship with God Almighty that any other created being could only dream of, that they had never known of or could even believe for. God created us for that type of relationship with him. See, man wasn't created like the stars, the moon, everything else that God created for him to look at and to watch over. You, I, we were created to walk with God, to have an intimate relationship with him. So why, here's the deal. No matter what other purpose you may have in life, no matter what things you may be called to, there will never be anything that will supersede the importance of your relationship with God, of your walk with him. It will always be your highest purpose. It will always be your greatest treasure. You know, evidence that God values relationship more than anything else is more clearly defined by the life of Jesus. The fact that he was willing to give up everything, sacrifice his life on the cross in order to restore that relationship, shows that in God's heart, that relationship with us is of infinite value. Colossians 1 tells us what God's love looked like to establish this relationship. Colossians 1, 19 through 22. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you, get this, into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a fault. And let me be clear about something else concerning authentic love. It never pursues relationship based on what it's going to get out of it. It doesn't pursue you for the benefit it is going to get from you. It pursues with the intent of enriching the life of the one that he is pursuing or she is pursuing. Once again, this couldn't be any more clear than in the life of Christ. This may come as a shock to some of us, but God didn't pursue us for what we could do for him. He didn't pursue us for what he was going to get out of it. God, listen, I know we're great and everything, but God did not pursue us because he had this big gaping hole in his soul that only you and I could fill. To the contrary, he pursued us when we had absolutely nothing we could give to him. See, one thing we have to understand is this. From Romans 5, chapter 6, and verses 6 and 8. For when we were still without strength, in time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps, for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, what we can never lose sight of is this, is that we love him because he first loved us. He did not pursue us for what he was going to get out of it. He pursued us because he knew what a relationship with him would do for us. Another thing about love and relationship, it can't be established from a distance. And once again, God showed his love towards us in that Christ didn't just reach down. God didn't just reach down and pull us out of the mess. He had to enter first into our mess and destroy our mess, to destroy sin and death in the grave. He had to come and enter into it. That's what love does. That's what it is to pursue relationship. And that is what God did for us. Listen to Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, an intercessor for us, the one who would fill the gap, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What a God. See, he chose to pursue relationship with us when not only were we undeserving of a love like his, but all indications were that we didn't even have any desire for it. How could we not see that loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the best choice, the only thing that I would want to do? How can we not see that it is the thing that we should pursue most aggressively, value most highly, and defend most fiercely? I want to touch on that a little bit more, about how love doesn't pursue for its own benefit. Because this doesn't just apply to God towards us, it applies us towards God. See, we all understand this in a human relationship, right? If we know that we would never call it love if I was to seek to be associated with you for the sheer purpose of what I could get out of you. That I look to see, oh yeah, I want to be in a relationship with them because I see how it's going to benefit me. And yet, when we talk about a relationship with God, often we talk in exactly those terms. We present Jesus as a means to the end. That he's a way to get the objects we desire rather than he is the object of our desire. To help us get what we want rather than to see that Jesus, a relationship with him, is our ultimate treasure. See, to love God is to pursue his heart. To pursue the glory of a relationship with him, not to pursue the gifts of his hand. Listen, we demean Jesus and we defraud people when we try to entice them into a relationship with him, to believe in him for some kind of a benefits package. Listen, who doesn't want eternal salvation? Love, joy, peace, prosperity, freedom. But that's not really the question. The question is, do we desire Jesus? Do we desire a relationship with him? See, a lot of people aren't much different than the people of Jesus' day. See, they all wanted a piece of what Jesus could do for them. Everyone wanted to be healed. Everyone wanted to be fed. Everybody wanted peace and prosperity. The problem was they didn't really want Jesus. They didn't really want a relationship with him. They didn't want to be intimate with him. They didn't want to know what he was all about. They didn't really want to follow him. And they certainly didn't have a stomach to eat his flesh and drink his blood. See, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And this freaked them out. But what's so crazy is they got so freaked out by that statement, they didn't even listen to the rest of the story. They didn't read the next two verses. What was this eating my flesh and drinking my blood all about? He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. And I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus was inviting them to the table to feast on God. They're saying, come and get a piece of my life. I'm showing you how to live. But they, like so many today, are like, no, I'm good. I'd rather just eat of the life that I'm already eating from. I would like to continue to drink from the wells I've been drinking of. See, the problem with them was they were looking to have Jesus make their life better. But Jesus isn't about that. Jesus was about giving them, something so much better, his own life. He was offering access to his life, which only comes through a love relationship with him. See, there are many people who have gone away from the church frustrated, saying this gospel stuff doesn't work. I was told that Jesus was going to do this, that, and the other thing, that I was going to experience this. And the truth is that probably all of those promises and many more actually were true and available. The problem is you wanted to experience the benefits without actually having the relationship. See, we sell people a bill of goods when we tell them you can live in the fullness of everything that the cross has provided, but never actually love and have a relationship with the Christ of the cross. See, a lot of things changed with the new covenant when Jesus came, but one thing that did not change was the first commandment. Matter of fact, Jesus doubled down right here on it. Most important thing, love God. And see, we would never say this, but we cheat people when we substitute believing in Jesus and give it the same weight of actually loving Jesus. Believing who Jesus is no substitute for actually loving him. And see, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that in order to get to heaven, to be saved, we have to love God perfectly. We'd all be in trouble. But what I am saying is what you will experience of the promises and blessing of God is not based on what you believe. It's based on whether you are truly in relationship, if you truly love Jesus and are walking with him. And here's the thing. If we actually choose to love him and pursue him, we will find out all those things, love, joy, peace, true success, were never things that were separate from him in the first place. All of those things were found in him. See, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. I want to take a couple moments to look at a few pictures of what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first comes from Paul in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9, where he measures the value of knowing Jesus against everything else. Philippians 3, 7 through 9. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything, counting it all as garbage, so that I may gain Christ and become one with him. It's important to see here that Paul isn't coming up with a new commandment. He's not even telling us what we should do. He is simply testifying of what it is he's experiencing. He's telling us the way it is. He's telling him, look, I was once a man who had what the world thought was important. I had position. I had success. The applause of men. I had finances. I had it all. But I'm here to tell you that it's rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And what he's saying is, and what he found out, is what every person on this planet will ultimately come to see, which is this: there's no amount of money, there's no amount of success, there's no amount of applause of men that can ever fill you. There's no drug that can ever satisfy you. And even at their best, it's all rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And I love this part. Here's one of the most beautiful things about entering into a love relationship with Jesus. The minute you decide to go all in with Him, to get into a love relationship with Him, you are going to experience everything that God is. See, God does not give Himself in pieces. See, God is in this thing from the very beginning to the very end. He's all in. The question has always been, are we? And see, I've got to say this, because it's like been a phenomenon over time, is why is it that people seem to experience so much more joy and peace and all these things sometimes at the beginning of the relationship with God versus 30 years down the road? Why are 30-year-old Christians looking stale and the newborns are excited and filled with joy and peace and happiness? Because it's not about how long you've been in the game. It's whether you are all in the game. Are you fully in love with Jesus? Because if you are, He's there. He's never left. He's there in His fullness for us to experience and to enjoy the relationship we were created for. See, when I came to Jesus, there were a lot of things, ways you could have described me, but empty was probably the primary one. There was no joy. There was no peace. Just emptiness. But when I came to Jesus and heard the true gospel, it wasn't that if I come to Jesus, then all these great things were going to happen to me. What I heard and what God by His grace revealed to me was who Jesus was. The Son of the living God. The eternal Son. And even in that state, I realized I really didn't have a choice. If this is true, if Jesus is who He says He is, I don't really have a choice. I'm going to choose Him. But what I found was that when I chose Him, I found love, life, peace, fulfilling. To put it simply, the more I pursued Him, the closer that I got to Him, the more full I was. And again, you could have looked at me on the surface and there might not have been much there, but in my mind, I was the happiest, most full person on the face of the planet. And the more I got into Jesus, the more I forsook those empty wells. I said, I just want more of Jesus. I was obsessed with Him. And to be honest, because I was experiencing this life, this joy that I never even knew existed, so much greater than what I could have ever even hoped for or anybody could have told me about, I thought that that was normal Christianity, that that was the normal Christian life, that if you were a Christian, you were obsessed with Jesus. Why in the world would you not be? I mean, where are you going to ever find anything close to what He can do and give for us and be for us? But what I came to realize, unfortunately, that this was not normal Christian life. See, I was told, you're naive. Yeah, you need Jesus in your life, but just don't be too fanatical about it. There are other things you need if you're really going to be a success and if you're really going to find happiness in this world. But as I stand here 30 years removed from that decision, I can tell you this. The greatest regrets that I have in life are when I was ever foolish enough to believe those lies. That there was anything else other than Jesus that I really needed to make me full. That there was anything else that would ever satisfy me. Now listen, I'm not a fool. I understand that there are practical things we need. We need food. We need a job. And there are things that God has given us to enjoy, family, friends, the beach. But Jesus, what Jesus told me and what I've experienced is this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Because listen, over time, I experienced a lot of what the world and even Christians told me I needed to have success, to be fulfilled. I had more success in business than I could have ever dreamed of. I had position, I had title, I had the house on the lake, the boats, the jet skis. And this is what I will tell you without reservation. There was more joy in 1 minute of being that naive, obsessed Jesus lover than I ever got out of any of that stuff. I will tell you, in the light of who Jesus is, it was garbage. Yes. Wow. Yes. See, as I stand here this morning, I tell you this. I have never been more convinced that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is nothing more true. There's nothing more right. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more rewarding that you will ever find. There's another picture that Jesus gives us of what it looks like to truly love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we see it in John chapter 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him." Listen to this part. "And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now, someone might say, "I thought we were talking about relationship. This sounds like performance, conditional love." We need to understand this. God's love for you, God's love for me, yes, it is 100% unconditional. And he paid it all so that we could experience it. But relationship with him is. See, if God removes every possible barrier to a love relationship with him so that we can be intimate with him, but we have no desire for him, we have no desire for relationship, it's not going to happen. See, love can be a one-way street. I think we've probably all experienced that. But a relationship can't. But please, hear the heart of God. It's kind of funny. It's like God, Jesus constantly setting us up. It's like he says this thing, "If you love me, you'll keep my words." And we stop right there. And we think that's the point. And all we have to do is go down and see what the real point is. "I will come." In other words, I want to come and make our home with you. Listen, we're talking about the God of all creation is telling you, "I want to come and live with you." Not just get close, not just be a buddy. I want to get as close as possible. I want to come and live and dwell in your heart. I want to bring everything that I am. All the goodness, all the perfection, all the beauty, all the glory, and I want to set up in your house. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And again, it's just like Paul, Jesus in this isn't even making an ask. He's not telling you to do something. It's really a matter of fact. If we love him, if we truly desire a relationship, we will keep his word. Because understand that everything that Jesus gives us in his word is in the context and for the benefit of relationship. His primary purpose for every word he speaks is to reveal his heart to us. Jesus couldn't express this any more clearly than he does in John 15, 14, and 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, listen to this, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. It's undeniable that God desires a relationship with us. He sacrificed everything to make it possible. But what he can't do is change who he is in order to make it a reality. So here's what Jesus said. I've opened my heart up completely to you. I've shown you exactly who I am. I've become completely vulnerable with you of who I am. Now the choice is, what do you want to do with it? What will you do with it? Isn't that how relationship works? See, you take my wife, and men, listen up because this is good. As my wife reveals herself to me, as she shows me her heart, lets me know the things that, or I pick up if I'm smart enough, the things that hurt her, the things that offend her, then I am going to do everything humanly possible if I love her to protect her from those things, to avoid those things. And likewise, if as she reveals and I learn the things that bless her, she reveals the things that bring happiness and joy or whatever to her life, I'm going to be quick to do those things. How could I believe that she loves me or that I love her if when she reveals those things to me, I mock them or I walk over them or I ignore the things that I know that will please her? See, we have to understand that God's word, in whatever form it comes, direction, instruction, correction, is an invitation into relationship and intimacy with him. He's revealing his heart to us that we can come and be one with him and enjoy the relationship to a full. And I'm going to close with something. It's kind of funny because even saying this, I was kind of hesitant, but it seems mundane and practical, but really it can just demonstrate the love that we have for God and our desire to experience relationship with him as much as anything. As I said, the Word of God is really nothing less than the heart of God. It's who he is. And a lot of times we say that we want to draw close to God. We wish we knew him better. And yet we completely ignore his word. I mean, to be honest, probably a lot of us, if we were going to take a poll of how much time did you actually spend seeking God in his word this week, we would maybe be embarrassed. But listen, I'm not saying this as any kind of guilt or thing to put on you. There is nothing that the enemy wants to do more than keep you out of the Word of God. This is about relationship. This is about an opportunity that God has made available to us right in front of us to simply pick up his Word, to spend time with him, to learn who he is, to find out his heart. See, the Word of God is living. It has a personality. Oh my gosh, we've sold the Word of God so short. If we only knew that every time we pick up the Word of God, it's like literally breathing the breath of God. That it's literally taking in the life of God, that it can transform us, that it can change us, that it can fill us, that it can satisfy us like nothing else on this planet. I could talk for hours about the wonders of the Word of God, but I want to whet your appetites of just how God can meet you through the Word, if you will just take the time. See, I don't know how many times there's been where I've been seeking God about something. I've been in a place in my life when I needed to hear something from Him. And the tendency is to try to pick up the Bible and find a passage to speak to me. But what I've learned is this, is that God doesn't need my help. It's like getting with a friend. A friend will pick up what you need and they'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And see, I've been reading in the book of Leviticus, reading laws, ceremonial laws. And to be honest with you, a lot of times I'm looking and I'm saying, I don't even know what he's saying here. And yet, in that very moment, I'll hear a still small voice speaking life to me, speaking to me about something that maybe I've been seeking God for weeks about. Because see, I mean with a person, please hear me, the Word of God is alive. And it is very hard to say that we love God and we desire to be with Him and to leave His heart sitting on the table day after day. Give God the opportunity to speak to you, to breathe life into you. So I'm going to close with this. Maybe you're out there today and you've never really known the love and the joys, the joy that you can find in Jesus, the satisfaction that we've been talking about. Today is your day. God is here right now and is willing and able to go all in with you. All we have to do is this day make a choice to be all in with Him. And maybe you're here as well and you've known what I've talked about. You've known the love of God. You've known that joy. But to be honest, you've lost your first love. You know what I'm talking about, but you aren't experiencing it right now. Don't listen to the lies that you've got to go for a 10-day fast. Or whatever thing you think you have to do, all you have to do is say, I love you, Jesus. I want you and only you. You're enough for me. And He again will meet you right here. And we can go back and live in the fullness of everything that God has for us. So as we worship with this song, let it be an end. If the prayer team would come up, let this be an invitation to go all in with God, to experience everything that He has for you as we worship Him right now. Amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.